And I want to hear from the Spirit of God today. And we're going to continue on a series that I've been teaching on the last couple of weeks called Real Humility.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Lord, you have a sweet presence in our house today, and we thank you for that. You have blessed us with that today. And I'm so thankful for it. And I'm just asking now, Lord, that as we continue in your word, that you would let that word just penetrate our hearts. And Father, that you would use your servant to deliver your word. And that it would touch our hearts and minister to us, Lord. And we would leave this place with that word on our lips. And we would go out from among this place and share it with others. I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. Lisa and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. How the Lord just gives what he wants for his people. And the awesome thing about being a servant of the Lord is that you are listening to what the Master has to say in order for you to bring that to others. The wonderful thing about that is you don't have to come up with it. Amen? If you will wait upon the Lord, because the Apostle Paul is very clear with that, says those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so you want to let the Lord lead you and not try to conjure up a really good message. Because if Lisa had tried to conjure up a really good message for all the ladies yesterday, what do you think would have happened? It would have flopped. No matter how much you can be charismatic and carry on, it would have been a flop because we want to hear from God's Spirit. And I want to hear from the Spirit of God today, and we're going to continue on a series that I've been teaching on the last couple of weeks called Real Humility. And God has been working very diligently on His church, especially this church at Living Water Church, that we are walking in humility, not just fake humility. Because how many of you know you can carry on as if you are a humble person, but down deep inside, you are full of pride. And you know it, and God knows it. You might be able to hide it from others, but God knows it. And the Lord's been working on us and is going to continue to work today. And as we go to our opening text that we have been at is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we've started each one of these series with that. God speaking with Solomon here. Solomon had just finished building this great, immaculate temple of God and built his own house as well. And it was immaculate. All the jewels and everything. And then verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, I want you to understand something, that God has plans, and God intends for his plans to be carried out in a place. And I can remember 18 years ago, well, a little longer than that, coming down to this street out here. And that was before any of the houses were here, before this church. I was sitting here. There was a steel building that was on this property. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is the place that I have chosen for Living Water Church. Same as the place that Solomon built, the Lord said, I've chose that. But there is a choice. So many times, churches, God will speak. There is a plan that God has. But then churches will make it all about themselves. And then the church disintegrates and falls apart. And people wonder what happened to that church. And it's all about pride, and it's all about not submitting to the will of God, but making it all about them, and making about the preacher, making about the staff, and how great they are in competing one with another. I want you to know there's no competition within the body of Christ and the callings and gifts of God. And I don't know why I'm going here this morning, but the Lord is apparently leading me in this direction, that cannot be. Because when that happens, there is pride that lifts up its ugly head, and leaders fighting amongst each other. Well, I have to give a better message than them. I have to teach better than them. Oh, well, I'm better than them because pastor chose me to do this, or pastor did this, or, you know, associate pastor is standing up and trying to woo the congregation towards them. Look at me. I'm so much better than that senior pastor. You ought to make me the pastor of that church. And this kind of stuff happens within churches. And God says, that makes me sick, because all that is pride that is lifting its ugly head up. The scriptures say we are to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, weep with those who are weeping. We give God praise, and it's never a competition within the leadership of this church. And if I ever get wind of that, there's conversations that will take place with us. And it should never be that case in anything within a congregation, because that is pride that lifts up, and pride goes before a fall, church. And I don't want that happening at Living Water. This is why God said, if I shut up heaven that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people. Now, it is a sure thing when churches begin to fall apart of what is happening in the church. And God would say, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, call on me, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, or I will heal their church. But unfortunately, that does not happen. And churches disintegrate because of it. Because the pride that is built up within the church says, I am not going to say I am sorry. I am not going to humble myself and say I made a mistake. I heard from God. And each one saying I heard from God. But have they really heard from God if they will not humble themselves and come and ask for forgiveness? Then I will heal the land. Then I will heal the church. Then I will begin to work things within the people of God. This morning I want to talk about, near the end of the service here, I want to talk about the benefits of humbling ourselves before the Lord, because there are many benefits that come with humility. And we've been talking about humility over the past couple weeks, and how pride lifts its head up and is the direct opposite of humility, and that is never something that we should be a part of. You see, many of us were prideful when we were younger. Can I get some hands here? Any prideful people? The rest of you are not telling me the truth, okay? Patty, you didn't lift your hand. She says, why do I sit on the front row? I don't know. Come on now, we all have been. And God looks at that, and God begins to work on us and begins to say, you know what? You're not all that. And God begins to show us really who we are and who He is. And God is looking for a church to remember that there are benefits of humility before the Lord. But before I go that, I want you to remind you of this, that we have to remember that humility is also a choice that we make. And some of you are saying, I don't know. It's just who I am. How many of you ever heard people say, I can't change, it's just who I am? How many of you have said, I can't change, it's just who I am? Come on. Oh, one hand. Thank you. Okay. Another one? Yeah. It's just the way I am. I can't change. That is pride that stands up. And all that is saying is, I choose not to change. I choose because I like being this way. It's a choice that we make. I want you to jump over to Philippians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul, speaking with the Philippian church, chapter 2, verse 3, speaking to us, Living Water Church, don't let anything be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem the other one better than themselves. Come on now, seriously, how many of us, we make it a point to esteem others above ourselves? It's a very important thing that God is asking us to do, because that's not in our normal nature. Our normal nature is to look out for me, what I want, not what somebody else wants, but what I want. And here this is very much saying the direct opposite of that. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Everybody likes to talk about, well, I have the mind of Christ. The Lord's giving me His mind. I'm learning His Word. I'm getting all these scriptures memorized and everything. But really what this is talking about is you need to think the way that the Lord thought, not think, okay? The way the Lord think. He says, it's not about me, it's about them. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, a baby, and was made in the likeness of men. Here he was, God, in the presence of his Father God, and becomes a man so that you and I could be saved. Would you say that that is putting others above himself? Yes. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. What mind should we have, church? That same mind who was willing to put others above himself. And every day we ought to wake up, and I've said this for several years now, lifting your hands before God and saying, Father, first of all, I give you praise for this day. I thank you that I did wake up and that I was on the wake-up list. And I also ask, Lord, that you would use me today. And Lord, if there's anyone that I can help today, show them to me that I can be a blessing to them. You see the difference in that prayer than the prayer, oh God, today I thank you that I woke up and now I want you to bless me today above all the other blessings that you've blessed me with, God. But turn that over, Lord, can I be a blessing today to someone? And if so, bring them my way. And when the Lord brings them, don't shut your eyes and say, oh, that wasn't God. God, let me be a blessing to put others above myself. It's a choice that we get to make. Amen? We get to make that choice. Now, I want to share just a few biblical examples with you of those that were humble. And again, you remember that humility brings benefits and gifts. Abraham, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, the man Abraham that we call the father of what? Faith. This man that loved God, Genesis 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Some of you may remember this story. This was when God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was a problem because Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, was living there with his family. So again, Abram, at that time, putting himself out there before God, and he says to God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there is 50 righteous in that city? Will you destroy it, not spare the place for 50 that are therein? That be far from you, God, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous and the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and as far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. I want you to listen to what he says. I've taken to you to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. What did he think of himself as? He knew his place with the Almighty God. He said, I am nothing before you, God. But because of your love and because of your heart, oh God, I'm bringing this to you, not because I deserve it. And God looked at this and he continues and he says, what if there's 5 less than that? What if there's 45? And God says, okay, if there's 45, I won't destroy it. And he goes on through here. Lord, don't be angry. What if there's 30 there? Well, I won't do it for 30. He said, Lord, what if there's 20 there? He said, I won't do it. He said, Lord, don't be angry. Verse 32, and I will speak. But yet this once, what if there will be 10 found there? And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned into this place. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God would have had this conversation with Abram if there wasn't a humility on the part of Abram? You know, this scripture often is taught that, well, you know, you can come before God and you can bargain with God. No. This was a heart of a man that was humbled before God, concerned about the others that were in that city not being destroyed. That's why God was having this conversation with him. If you come before God with your prideful little heart and say, God, come on, you and I, we're going to bargain here. Tell you what, I'm going to give you this and you give me that. Do you know that many Christians try to operate that way? God, I'll give you some money in the offering, but I want you to do this for me. God is not a vending machine, folks. And he will only work with those that are humble and have humility before him when you come into his presence like that. That is a dangerous situation to be trying to bargain with God based on who you are. Remember, Abram. Moses, Numbers chapter 12. The man Moses. What do we know about the man Moses? We know that He led the people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. What do we know about Moses? Numbers chapter 12. And I've preached about this one before when Miriam and Aaron, verse 1, spoke against Moses. Because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. For he had married this Ethiopian woman, and Miriam and Aaron, they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken by this Moses? Has he not spoken unto us also?" And the Lord heard it. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Why do you believe that God worked with Moses? Because he was a man that was meek before the Lord. Now that word meekness and humility often go together. Some say, what's the difference? The difference is, if I am a meek individual, I know my place in God. But I recognize what I am before Him. But I know my place. So many times this gospel has been messed up by preachers that get up and say, you know, don't you know who you are? You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation, called of God. So therefore you should have the very best that is out there. The very best on this earth God has laid up for you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for you. Take it. What is that building? That can build up a pride within the people of God to say, don't you know who I am, you little sinner? But meekness says, I know who I am because of what God has done in my life. Amen? Not that I'm going to stand up on my own and proclaim how great I am. I know my position in Christ. Moses knew his position in God. Insomuch that the story unfolds, the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, the three of you, to the tabernacle congregation." And they came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. They both came forward and he said, "Hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." We talked about that in the past. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all of my house. With him I'm going to speak mouth to mouth." Why? Because of his humility and because of his meekness is why God worked with him. So many think, I am going to go into the ministry. I'm going to do great things for God. I'm going to see the lame healed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Because I am great. And God's going to use me. If you want God to use you, you must be humble before Him. It's the only way that it's going to happen. Jump over to Matthew chapter 8. Here we see, in the Gospels, another man. I hope the picture's starting to come together for you of who does God work for? Why do great things happen in individuals' lives and miracles happen? Because of humility. This man here, we hear about him quite often, but sometimes the message is a little skewed. Matthew chapter 8. In verse 5, "And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.'" I want you to understand this picture right here. This is a centurion. He is a Roman guard and soldier. He's over 100+ other soldiers. He's their boss. They do what He tells them to do. But he is concerned about his servant who is at home sick. Not one of his other great warriors that, you know, he's sick and if I lose him, man, I'm going to lose a big part of my army here that I'm in charge of. He's concerned about his servant who's at home, sick. What does that tell you about this man? The man has a humble spirit. Because he's not concerned about himself, he's concerned about his servant, who is so much less than him as far as the world is concerned. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. I want you to see the heart of this man. And that's why Jesus said, I will come and heal him. So oftentimes we think we can demand of God to do things in our lives. Folks, I want you to know that's not who God is. He will look at the humble and contrite heart and move there. Luke chapter 3. A man that we all know by the name of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. And as many people as were in expectation, and all the men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were of Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, whose latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. Why do you think that God chose John the Baptist? I really believe that God is speaking to us as His people that we are to humble ourselves. Now, I am not talking about going around, you know, everybody you meet and just cowering down to them and saying, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Because that can be a false humility, as we talked about before. But I'm talking about a heart issue here. Recognize who you are and that you're not all that. And whatever you are, it is because of what God did for you. The last one is the Apostle Paul himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great man of God. Loved God, persecuted so strongly. But at the end of his life, he basically comes to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present day, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I want to stop right there. How many of you can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am? Because it's not about me. It's not about you. By God's grace, we are what we are. You're sitting here in this place because of God's grace. We all can look back and we all can see times that God has brought us through in our lives. But be very careful whenever you are sharing those periods of time with other people that you're not exalting yourself about what you did to get out of it. I am what I am by the grace of God. I want to start begin to close this up by giving you some of the benefits that God's Word promises to us when we choose this kind of life of humility. Number one, God gives us salvation. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. And we're going to go very close to the end. Psalm 149. And I was just going to read a couple verses of this, but I like the whole thing, so I'm going to read it all. Is that all right, Ab? Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Come on. And His praise in the congregation of the saints. Why do you think we give God praise with new songs in this house? Because the Scriptures say that we should let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Did you get that? He will beautify the meek with salvation. God will show up in your situation if you are a meek individual. You are a humble individual. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints, praise ye the Lord. Now, don't get tied up into, I can do all these things, I can get on my enemies, I can bring them down, I got my two-edged sword in my hand, because it all starts with humility. That's the only way that you can do this. How many of you saw the sight and sound of the David and Goliath story? Several of you, okay? How many of you enjoyed that and you watched it? Did you enjoy it, Landon? But here's the thing about David. David didn't go up against that giant saying, I could take him on my own strength. He said, I could take him because the Lord has done this for me before. And when he went to Goliath, he didn't stand in his face and say, I want you to look at me, buddy. Because I can take you. I am so good with this slingshot. I can take you. Today, that's what we call talking smack. How many smack talkers do we have in here? Oh, I see you're not raising your hands, yeah? But David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Because I realize who slew that bear and that lion. I realize it wasn't me, it was God. And Goliath, you don't stand a chance. Because of humility that was brought here. So God gives us a salvation. He saves us from our enemies. He helps us in this life when we have a humble spirit. Number two, and a lot of saints love this one, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, something that comes along with humility. You're going to like this, riches, honor, and life. Take a look at this, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that does keep his soul shall be far from them. In other words, you got a choice here, right? You can either be humble and have the riches, honor, and life, or you can keep your pride and have the snares and all the things that come along with that and the thorns. By humility comes riches, by humility comes honor, and by humility comes life. Now the world would have you believe that's exactly the opposite, right? Because we're taught in all of our self-help classes, you got to know who you are. If you're going to be a salesman, you got to know who you are. You got to be confident in yourself. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. We got a couple car salesmen that have been through a lot of those classes. How many of you have been through any self-help classes? I know you have. Yeah. And what we're told is, know who you are. I mean, you got to be confident. You got to be bold. You got to know who you are. But I never forget, in speaking with several that were trained in this area, I said, no. You have to be humble. And that just blows their mind. What do you mean I got to be humble? That's the promise of God. With humility comes riches. With humility comes honor. And with humility comes life. It's exactly opposite of what we're told out here in the world. But that's the promise of God. Number three, James chapter 4, verse 10 is the first one that I want you to see. The book of James, how many of you know, is a very hard-hitting book. And God wants us to pay particular attention to what He has to say here. Look at this. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Isn't that totally opposite of what we're told? Work hard. Do what you gotta do. Know who you are. And then you're gonna get somewhere in this life. No. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. See, God will exalt the individual that will humble themselves. Peter goes on in the next book to talk about this, 1 Peter chapter 5. And he talks about it a little bit more here in verse 6. He says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know why we ought to cast our cares upon Him? Because that is a sign of humility. To say, God, I can't handle this. Do you know why we don't do that? Why do we carry things? Because we think we can handle it. We think that, God, I can handle this one. It's just a tiny little thing. I can handle this, God. Let me do it. How many of you handle things and you do it perfectly every time? So then why do we not cast everything upon the Lord? I mean, here I've been preaching this gospel and preaching this word for 40 years. And then there's times when I go about trying to get something done and it's not happening. I'm like, God, why is this not happening? And the Lord says, because you're trying to do it on your own. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Humble yourself that He may exalt you. Did you know God's going to exalt you if you do this? Doesn't make any sense to your natural mind, does it? He's wanting us to depend on Him. The last one that I want to share with you, if you go back to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 1 says, where do these wars and fightings come from among you? Don't they come even of your own lust at war in your own members? You lust and you don't have. You kill and you desire to have and you can't obtain. You fight, you war, yet you don't have because you don't ask for it. You ask and you don't receive it because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses. How many of you like that one? Don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy, but He gives more grace? Wherefore He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near unto God, he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. But I want you to pay particular attention to verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Because God says He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you know what grace is? Don't give me the pat answer. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God just giving out of His love towards you because He loves you. Now, we call it favor. And how many of you know Laura has favor? She's already said that, right? John's trying to catch up to the favor. Right? And we joke about that, but it is true according to the Word of God. God will give you more of this favor when you humble yourself before His throne. If you wonder why you're not getting the favor of God, you're not getting this favor and this grace, it may be because you are not humble before the throne of God. It may be that your pride is getting in the way and stopping the favor of God from coming upon your life. We don't like to hear that, do we? But it is true that He gives more grace. The more humble you are before Him, the more favor you're going to get with God. So if you're not getting it, check yourself. Where's my pride? Where's my pride level? Is that getting in the way? And I can tell you, as I've done that, God has showed me, yes, it's your pride that stopped this. Humble yourself that He may exalt you, that He may pour out more grace. How many of you want more grace? Maybe you don't. You want more favor? You want God to fight your battles for you? You want God to go out ahead of you? It's all about humility. Real humility. We ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we should, because He gives more grace to the humble. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You have challenged us, God. Father, I pray for each one that is here and each one is listening or will listen to this message, that You begin to deal with us, begin to have us to do self-examination, to look at ourselves and see where our pride level is at, God. And ask, Father, that You would forgive us. Help us to walk humbly before You. This Word just challenges, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.